Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob. I'm reading today from a study of Galatians, my own study of Galatians, with a lot of help from men like Martin Luther and Harry Ironside and a little from John MacArthur. So it's not really my study, and it's the Apostle Paul's to begin with, and the Lord's before that. But let me put a little bit in here. It's going to be a question and answer format. Let's just begin. What do most people believe about how to get to heaven? Well, most people who believe in heaven at all believe a person can work his way there. Just keep the rules, try your best, do more good than you do bad, and God has to take you in. Well, maybe. But at least Christians don't agree with that, right? No, I just heard from MacArthur that over half of Protestants that were surveyed in 2017, I'm talking about Protestants, half of them believe that salvation is a matter of faith plus works. Well, does the Bible teach this? Well, we're not going to be studying the entire Bible, but the letter of Paul to the Galatians certainly denies the adding of works to faith in order to enter the kingdom of God. Question, what men of God have testified of the impact of this little letter written 2,000 years ago? Well, Martin Luther said this, "The epistle to the Galatians is my own epistle. I have betrothed myself to it. It's my Katie von Bora." Who was Katie von Bora? Katie von Bora was his wife. He was saying, I'm married to this little letter of Paul. I love the book of Galatians, he says. We're going to hear more from Brother Martin later. His own commentary on Galatians, in fact, is going to be referred to more than once, I promise. It was Luther's work which brought these amazing words from another man of God, whom you probably have heard of, a guy named John Bunyan. He said, "The God in whose hands are all our days and ways did cast into my hand one day a book of Martin Luther. It was his comment on the Galatians commentary. I found my condition in his experience so largely and profoundly handled as if his book had been written out of my heart. I do prefer this book of Martin Luther upon the Galatians, accepting the Holy Bible before all the books that ever I have seen, as most fit for a wounded conscience." We'll consult other greats like Harry Ironside, John MacArthur, and more. The letter to the Galatians is a treasure from which many a spiritual miner, M-I-N-E-R, has dug out splendid gems. Amen. Well, who were the Galatians? We know that there's this letter called Galatians, but who was he writing to? Well, 200 or more years before Christ came, there was a group of Celtic folks who settled all over Central Europe and beyond, and they wound up in what we call Turkey today. This particular group had lived in Gaul, or modern France, and were thus known as Galatians. Right, I'm not making that up. That's for real. Other ethnic groups settled near them, but the entire province that they occupied, which was conquered by Rome in 189 BC, was still named after those folks from Gaul, the Galatians. That data from John MacArthur. Little did these migrants know that they would be some of the most well-known people of all time because a follower of Jesus would write some of them a letter. Would you have known about Galatia if it had not been for the Apostle Paul? Well, where exactly was it? Well, we just said it was in the central and southern portion of present-day Turkey, sharing a border with the Apostle Paul's home province of ancient Cilicia. The southern portion of Galatia is where the apostle visited on missionary journeys. Familiar to Bible students anyway, Galatian cities like Antioch of Pisidia and Iconium and Lystra and Derbe, these were places where churches were left behind after a Pauline visit. And then the author of this letter, do we need to question that? Probably not. There's no reason to challenge the long-standing tradition that the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the group of churches clustered in this region and perhaps others in the general area. It's his only letter that's addressed to a group of churches as opposed to one congregation or one city or one person. Paul tells us he was raised as a Pharisee of the Pharisees and sent to Jerusalem from his hometown of Tarsus to study under the great Gamaliel. He was a rising star in the Hebrew community, a stalwart of Judaism, a hater of any detractor from the faith. One such menace in his eyes was the reportedly dead hero of the Christian cult named Jesus. Without realizing it, Paul was mercilessly persecuting Christ until Jesus himself put a stop to it. After Paul's conversion, he applied the same zeal to the preaching of the gospel that he had in persecuting the gospel. Question, when was the letter to the Galatians penned? We go to the date now. Well, we know the date of the Council of Jerusalem, and we assume that Paul was reacting to the decisions that were made at that council. We assign the date at approximately 49 AD. In other words, just under 20 years, right around 20 years after Jesus had ascended to heaven. Some scholars believe that Galatians was either the first or at least one of the first of the New Testament writings. At this writing, Paul has already traveled his first missionary journey. We find him in Acts 13, beginning his ministry to the Galatians in person. What was Paul's in-person ministry to the Galatians like? I find this, well, interesting. I was about to say fascinating, but it's right from your Bible. Needed to discover it, and I did discover it. It's in Acts chapter 13, his in-person ministry to the Galatians before everything broke loose regarding his need to write this letter. But if you look in Acts 13 and 14, somewhere in the mid-40s of the first century, Paul and Barnabas, two teachers of the church in another Antioch called Antioch in Syria, were sent by that church's leadership, under the direction of God's Spirit, west to proclaim the gospel wherever the Lord would lead. I'm so happy that the first push of the gospel was west, and you know, it just kept going west all the way to the end of Europe until it had to just keep on going across that Atlantic Ocean to where I live. The gospel came here ultimately because of the Apostle Paul's movement west. After ministry in a place called Salamis, and already the departure of a team member, John Mark, we'll talk about it in a while, they traveled on through what would become known as Asia Minor and Turkey to this Roman province known as Galatia and a town known by the same name as the one from which they had departed, Antioch. Antiochus was a popular name in those days. He was the one given to a series of kings, actually, descended from one of Alexander's generals. One of those Antiochuses was Antiochus Epiphanes, a type of, and perhaps actually, the Antichrist. That's another book, another time. But Antioch's a popular name. The ministry in Antioch of Pisidia, which is a little section of Galatia, started out as a rousing success. Paul preached a serious and effective message about Jesus in the synagogue there. Jew first, and also the Greek. That was Paul's method. After his message, God's grace touched many of the Jews in attendance. But some Gentiles, too, were touched. We're not told how Gentiles were involved. Perhaps the mention in the text of God-fearing proselytes, as separated from the Jews, That maybe that's one key. Not everyone in attendance that special Sabbath day were Orthodox Jews. I mean, really dyed-in-the-wool Jews. Some were on their way to Orthodoxy when Paul appeared. Evidently, these new converts to Judaism spread the word around Antioch during the week, because the next Sabbath, it says, the whole city showed up at the synagogue. And when the original Jews saw this, they were seriously jealous and began to disrupt the meeting, even to the point of blasphemy. Now, here is where something of God seems to have risen up within Paul, and he realized fully his special calling to the Gentiles. He opened the door of salvation to them on that day, to their great joy. And there follows the Church of Antioch. Imagine the joy as these Galatians, Jew and Gentile, are hearing and accepting the message. The enthusiasm on both sides, in fact, must be kept in mind as you read Paul's letter. This was a victory. God had moved. There was salvation happening in Antioch. A great day. Keep that in mind. But this joy was tempered with evil as the Jewish element eventually ran the Antioch missionaries out of town. The next town along the way was Iconium. Almost exactly the same chain of events occurred. Teaching, miracles, and a resistant group of Jews, an attempted stoning, and Paul and company moved on again to a district within the province like Ionia. And in that district, first came the town of Lystra. He's still in Galatia. A lame man healed. Paul and Barnabas were thought to be gods themselves before they had a chance to point them to the God who had worked this miracle. While in the process of correcting their theology, Jews from the last two towns who had been pursuing Paul showed up in Lystra. This time they were able to complete their mission, or so they thought. They stoned Paul, and they left him for dead. Remember, this is the man who held the coats of another stoning, the stoning of Stephen, who didn't get back up. He died and went to be with the Lord. Paul was stoned and just about as far as Stephen went, but God wasn't finished with Saul yet. Paul, I should say. And he raised him up right away. He soon got up and moved along to the next Galatian town, Derbe. The gospel was preached there. And then the record tells us he turned around and went back not only to Lystra, but to Iconium and Antioch, where his recent enemies lived. And why? To strengthen his new disciples, to encourage them to continue in the faith, just as he was continuing despite all of his trouble. Elders were appointed in every city. There was prayer, there was fasting, there were farewells, and Paul was on his way out of Galatia to other points of ministry. That was Paul's blessed introduction to the people whom he now, in this letter, must castigate with no uncertain words. How they have broken his heart, we cannot imagine. What has happened? What has happened? Well, should I move on? Yeah, we've got a few more minutes here. What tragedy overtook the Galatians after Paul left Galatia? It's told in Acts 15:1. Doesn't seem as dramatic. Doesn't seem as cataclysmic as all the stuff he's been going through. Rejection, persecution, stoning, trials that came to that early group of churches and their founder hadn't stopped the Galatians from desiring to advance in the faith. But something more awful than any of that now comes along. The record of Luke in Acts 15 is very clear. Men, supposedly Christian men, but men also attached to Moses, came down from Judea, perhaps following Paul around and conferring with the Jews of that region. But they went from church to church in Galatia and wherever the gospel had taken hold. Their message? Believe in Jesus, but don't forget Moses. Be circumcised. Obey the law. Paul had already left Galatia when this horror occurred. Somehow, whether in a return to the region or in meeting with these men further down the road, a clash occurred. There was debate. There was dissension. Paul is furious. It's determined that he must return not only to Syria and Antioch, but to Jerusalem itself to confer with the leaders of the church. And so the stage was set for the hugely important council recorded in Acts 15. And it would seem, for the letter to the Galatians, many of whom he knew to have deserted his message already. So what's the theme of the letter? Well, now it's obvious. The council in Jerusalem confirms what Paul already knows, that to be right with God is merely to have received his grace by faith. The works of the law of Moses will save no one. Well, did Paul ever write about these same things in other letters? MacArthur brings out the striking comparison between Galatians and Romans. Have you noticed it? Both letters speak of justification by faith, a theology and a practical way of living it out, a law that cannot justify, believers who are dead to the law, a crucifixion with Christ, Abraham being justified by faith, the fact that we are children of Abraham, a law that brings God's wrath, the universality of sin, adoption as God's children, the importance of our baptism, water baptism, love that fulfills the law of God, walking in the Spirit, the warfare of the flesh against the Spirit, bearing one another's burdens. All of that's in Romans and Galatians. And so this isn't going to be the last time, though it's the first, that the apostle will speak of these matters in letters. But some would argue that the intensity of Galatians exceeds even that of the Romans. Paul knew these Galatians. He knew them personally. He nearly laid down his life for them. He wasn't against laying down his life, but he almost really had to leave the planet over them. He was crushed in spirit to know that his work may have been in vain. Well, just a quick note. Did Paul ever return to Galatia? That's in Acts 15:36 all the way to 16:6. Paul did go back to Galatia, but we're not told much about that second entry. Paul and Barnabas were still a team as they began a trip to see how the brothers were doing. The letter to the Galatians had already been sent, and Paul was no doubt eager to know of its fruit. But this is where he and Barnabas split up. Barnabas wanted to give John Mark another chance in ministry. Paul said no. So from now on, we read about Paul and Silas, as opposed to Paul and Barnabas. They arrive in Derbe and Lystra. Here they met one who will be critical to the advancing of the faith. Critical in a good sense. I mean that he's going to be so important to the advancing of the faith, namely Timothy. They continue through the region, this time bolstered by a decree from the Jerusalem church that salvation is by grace through faith, period. With that historical background being understood, we're ready to examine the letter that Paul wrote to the Galatians just after he received the bad news about their defection from grace. Galatians 1 next time. Now, I wanted to let you know that there are other ways that you can access this study. This is a book. I'm reading from my own book, A Study of Galatians. It's available. Just click on store right where you're at, or go directly to Amazon.com yourself and find the book, Study of Galatians. Put my name in there. There's probably several studies of Galatians. Then I'm going to, as soon as I get finished talking here, I'm going to put the PDF, for those of you who know what that means, right here with the sermon. You'll be able to click on the written, it'd be like buying the book but not buying it. And you'll have the document, and it'll be right on your computer, and you can print it out, which is really a lot more trouble than just buying the book, probably. But do whatever. You can get it at Kindle for $1 also. Another way to access the study of Galatians is to join us on Saturday night. I say us. Last week there were 7 of us, men from all over Sermon Audio land, and they're all over the country too. And we've got one in Canada, almost had one in Germany, but that didn't quite work out. But people are just coming in and saying, I'd like to be a part of your study. And some stay and some don't. And you might come and say, I'm not into that. And that's fine. But some like it. And it's not just a study of Galatians that we're doing. We're getting into each other's lives. We're sharing prayer requests. And it's just kind of a blessing. But it's a virtual meeting. It's by Zoom. You have to know what Zoom is and how to deal with that. Take care of that first. I'm not really that technically savvy. But you'll be able to find instructions about Zoom pretty much anywhere online. Just put Zoom in there, and they'll tell you how to work it. Then send me a letter, an email, bob.j.faulkner.72@gmail.com. letting me know that you're interested, and give me a little bit of your testimony. This is for Christian men, you know. And I will send you by return email an invitation, a technical, legal, actual invitation that will have the link that will let you come into our meeting. It's every Saturday night, 7 o'clock Central Time. That's Central in Chicago, not in Germany. There is a Central Time over there too, but I'm talking about Chicago of USA. Well, thank you so much for being with us today, and I do hope you come back. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.